Morning, family. Good to see all of you here this morning. Looks like Leo's having some separation anxiety from Randall. Like, get me away from him. It's good to see all of our visitors this morning as well. If you fill out one of those white cards on the back of the pew in front of you so we could have a record of your attendance, we'd appreciate that. We're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 33 this morning. You want to open your Bibles and turn over there. The next time we will be in Ezekiel, we'll try and get through chapters 36 through 39 as we make our way through the book. You guys know the longer you know someone, the more they irritate you. Some of you are trying not to laugh, but you know it's true. And that at times we find ourselves falling into the trap of doing nothing but seeing negatives in people. Seeing all their faults, all of their issues, all of their problems, all of the things that drive us crazy. And I would submit to you this morning that I have fallen into that trap over the last several weeks with all of you. That I'm more prone to see your faults than I am to see your goodness. Find myself dwelling on them, wasting time and energy when I have other better things to be focused on. So our lesson this morning is more Jeremy preaching to Jeremy as I work through what the truth is that God's telling me from Ezekiel chapter 33. And it came to a realization this week that all of us have sensitivities that we bring to every scenario and situation based on how we were raised. I was raised in a fairly negative household. Unlike my wonderful wife, who was raised in probably the most positive house that you could ever imagine, I was raised to look at things from the eyes of a skeptic, in a more negative light, which at times creates some issues in our house, especially in discussions with my wife. But I have a lot of pet peeves. And my pet peeves color the way that I see things. And I would submit that you probably have pet peeves too. And they color the way that you see situations and circumstances. And we use them in our ways of interpreting others' actions. And just, these are some silly examples of behaviors in others that get under our skin that lead to a spirit of negativity in our lives. How many of you can't stand when someone chews with their mouth open? Addison, do you know someone personally that does that a lot? Evan? It's a slight example, right? Something that irritates. But boy, how quickly do we use those irritations to lead us into world police behaviors with those that we come into contact with? We allow that to fester and dwell within us. To the point where we want to introduce legislation to change that it would be against the law to chew with your mouth open. You think I'm joking, right? There's laws on the books that are attempting to fine people for walking too slowly. That's the silliness that this leads us to. It's not what God is calling us to. And I think in most of our cases, we have our fault radar cranked up to 11 when we're dealing with people. Where we're constantly on the lookout to find or even point out faults in others. And because we have it this way, we rejoice greatly with great rejoicing when we come across sections of the text like Ezekiel chapter 33, where God calls Ezekiel out as the watchman to Israel to where he can point out all of their faults. Or even Ephesians chapter 5 that Andy read to us this morning, where we have now divine revelation telling us that it's perfectly acceptable to point out faults in others, and that's just the way that we should live. Do you know people that live like that? So we become like kids in a candy store, running around, taking everything that we want with just complete joy and abandon that we have God's permission to point out all the faults in everybody else. and many consider themselves modern-day watchmen to people. They spend their time and their energy looking for signs of error. Now, it could be real and it could be imagined, but all that energy is just dumped into that and that only. Failing to recognize that once we put that designator of watchman on our shoulders, that we tend to focus more on the examination of others instead of focusing on the proclamation of God's truth and what it means for me. Not realizing that when we do this, it will lead to unfair judgment of others. It leads us into a path that is not pleasing to God. And so when you're in Ezekiel chapter 33, it's the second time that God appoints Ezekiel as the watchman of Israel. The first time is actually found in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17 when God says, "Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me." And then in chapter 33 and verse 7, it's almost identical where God says to Ezekiel, "Now as for you, son of man, I have appointed you a watchman for the house of Israel. So you will hear a message from my mouth and give them warning from me." But let's not fail to understand and recognize that both of these sets of instruction, while very similar, are based upon the principle that God says in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 10 when he says, "Moreover, son of man, take into your heart all of my words which I will speak to you and listen closely." Everything God proclaimed was meant to start in the heart of Ezekiel. He wasn't allowed to bypass all of the things that God said and just kind of slough those off onto others. He had to make sure that they were applicable to him, and then he would say the things that God had told them to say. And we've seen some pretty crazy stuff in Ezekiel, haven't we? All of the different faults of the children of Israel and what was happening in Jerusalem. Ezekiel had to take what God said and go, "Does that apply to me?" Because if it does, God has very specific expectations here of how I'm supposed to behave for me. He will deal with them once I present the warning to them, but I've got to look to myself first. I have to apply this to myself first. And that's the point that Paul is making in Ephesians chapter 5 that we had in the reading, right? Verse 11 was meant to be applied to ourselves. Verse 14, Christ will shine on who? Me. Not on you, but shining on me. Therefore, make the most of your time. No, my time. Because we live in evil days. Welcome the light into areas, our areas of darkness. Because it helps us live as wise men. We focus it on us. That's what God is trying to do here. He's trying to shine the light on us, on me. To show me all of the areas of darkness in my life that need to be expelled. So that I can be who he calls me to be. Because I can't be who he calls me to be until I first apply his word to me. It's a whole lot easier to apply it to you. Anything Ezekiel has to say to the house of Israel, Ezekiel says to himself and has already applied it to himself. That's the point of the first nine verses of Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 through 9. And the truth that God makes known to us is actually very simple. If you're in your Bibles, turn over to the last verse 20 of chapter 33, where God says, "I will judge each of you according to his ways." There's something that we really need to latch on to here in this verse. This is God talking. This doesn't get to be applied to me, as I would say, "I will judge each of you according to your ways." That's God's job. This is the epitome of fairness, which I am incapable of. In the way that God is fair, I cannot be fair. I try. I'll be honest with you, I try really hard. But I find myself failing more times than succeeding. God never fails in the way that he is fair in his treatment toward mankind. And it's outlined for us in verses 12 through 16. It says, "And you, son of man, say to your fellow citizens, the righteousness of a righteous man will not deliver him in the day of his transgression. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he will not stumble because of it in the day when he turns from his wickedness. Whereas a righteous man will not be able to live by his righteousness on the day he commits sin. When I say to the righteous, he will surely live. And he so trusts in his righteousness that he commits iniquity. None of his righteous deeds will be remembered. But in that same iniquity of which he has committed, he will die. But when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and he turns from his sin and practices justice and righteousness. If a wicked man restores a pledge, pays back what he has taken by robbery, walks by the statutes which endure life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins that he has committed will be remembered against him. He has practiced justice and righteousness. He shall surely live." In God's fairness, he will look at each of us and judge us accordingly. That if we are practicing wickedness, for the one who practices wickedness, expect God to return in kind. For the one that practices righteousness, expect God to return in kind. But they are judged according to their reaction of the truth. By God. On an individual basis, each man will answer for himself. This was fair under the old covenant. It's fair under the new covenant. But in order for this to be applied, we have to embrace it on a personal level. Now, this isn't to say, and please don't misunderstand me, this isn't to say that we don't need to be warning our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors, those in our community about sin and error in their lives. Because that's part of the job as Christians. That's part of our responsibilities. That's who we are being called to be. But we do so not as world police, looking only for the fault in others so that we can bolster our own self-esteem and make ourselves feel better about ourselves. But we do this approaching the situation out of care and concern, not a position of false superiority. And I think that it's probably a fine line for many of us in this. The proclamation of truth in a spirit of judgment. I can't be the only one that struggles with it. It might help us to think of it this way. Are we speaking truth to individuals so that they can make the choice? Or are we speaking truth to try and limit their behavior? Because God, through Ezekiel, is providing warnings to the people, and guess what he allows them to do? Make the choice. He'll judge them accordingly. He'll judge them accordingly. Are the words that come out of our mouths when we are talking with our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, our community, driven by love and compassion? Because the more I thought about it this week, the more I came to the realization that making God's truth known is a way that we manifest God's heart to people. In Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, Ezekiel is told to tell them, "As I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live." Turn back. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel? How much pleasure do we derive in pointing out faults? Because that is not the heart of God. The heart of God calls, asking a very simple question. Why will you die? Turn back. And when we do this, this is born out of our love for God. It's born out of our love for our neighbor. And when we make this our approach, our fault radar gets adjusted properly. It's tuned the way that God wants it. Not according to our standard, but according to His standard, with the understanding that as we live life on this earth and as we are called to be God's people, it must be applied first here before we can be who God calls us to be out there. Let's be a people that take God's word into our heart in all aspects, in everything that we do. And that when we find ourselves in a position of fault-finding and negativity, that we shun it and we run away from it, because that is not who God calls us to be as His people. Forgive me for the way I have viewed you. I swear to do better. We're going to stand and sing the song. If you have any need this morning, you're ready to become a Christian by making the confession of Jesus as the Christ, to enter into the light. And understand what this means before you step into that water, that when you step into the light, God wants His light in all areas of our darkness. He wants it gone and done away with so that He can shine on us, so that we in turn can shine on the world that we walk in. That we make that application very personal when we get into the water to have our sins washed away. And if you're ready to take that step, we encourage you, come while we stand and sing.